We're back in session. All right. Legislative privilege of the floor. I think we skipped that. At the end. Well, it's the next thing on the list. Legislative privilege. Mike, then Carol.
Madam Chair, I'd like very much to congratulate you on being elected for another year on the as chair of our legislature. I know you'll do your very best for us, as you have in the past. I brought some things forward this year and suggested a change in the way we do things. Thank you for joining me with that so that the public could understand what was going on. I think that it's healthier to do it that way. And I hope that it spills over to the vice chairs in the years to come as well, because despite any thought that the public isn't interested in this, I fully believe that they are. People are out there watching us on TV that you'd never expect, and they come up and say things to you about watching our meetings. They care about their government. We have a terrifically well-educated populace in Tompkins County, and they're intrigued about what their local government happens, or what their local government does and how it happens. So I think that the more that we expose what we do to the public's view, the better it is for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that, and I do appreciate you bringing so many issues forward, and look forward to working together with you this year with everybody else. Carol. No, Frank.
Pam, unless you were going to talk about the strategic tourism planning workshop under the PDEC report, I would give a little bit of a very brief update. The Strategic Tourism Planning Board, I had pushed for months, getting you all to, or as many of you as we could, to attend the workshop that they were holding, soliciting input on the long-range plan and the aims for the next era of tourism in Tompkins County. And this group really delivered. There were 95 people attended. A few of you were there. This was a dynamic, engaged, thoughtful group of people who spent most of the night being asked to give input. The group, for the most of the night, after a short presentation by Tom Knipe and Fred Bahn, each of whom did an excellent job presenting their portion and incredible wealth of information on posters that were around the room about the results of the last 10 years, or however long it's been, we spent most of the evening breaking down into a dozen or more tables and people just brainstorming a list of questions. And there'll be a report that they will put out. I assume they'll come to PDEC with more information, so watch for that. With just an incredible wealth of ideas that ranged from, I don't know, sleigh rides in the gorges continuing to build up light in winter came up more than I expected. Great ideas for shoulder season and midweek visitors attracting people. I mean, the room, it just ran the gamut, and the list goes on for quite a while. Tom is going to do a lot of work sort of just figuring out how to present that to us. So thank you to Tom, to the rest of the board, for putting on a great night.
Well, I think about how he rides sleighs through the gorges. Frank, you're next.
Well, thanks, Martha. The Consumer Minute. A week or so ago, I had occasion to speak with a representative from Casella, the solid waste collector. I'd received my statement, and it was double what I normally pay. And it precipitated a call to them to find out why that was. And I was told that there were two changes. Normally, Casella bills for services you've already received, They have changed it so that now you will get a bill or a statement for services in advance. And they were double billing for December and January, so that you'd have to double your payment for January in order to catch up. In addition to that, they had a rate increase. Now, when I spoke with a gentleman named John, I asked him, well, did you at least inform us? Did I miss something? And they indicated that they'd sent a letter out informing those of us that use them that, A, the rate was going up, and, B, there was going to be a change in the method of payment. Well, I got a copy of the letter. It doesn't say anything about the rate increase. It does say that there might be a slight change in the fee, but it doesn't tell you what it will be. And it certainly doesn't say that they were going to double bill for the month of January. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is that they're our key collector in most of this county, and they also oversee the recycling for the county. And I know we've kept the recycling fee pretty level, even though some of us would like to see it reduced. And I don't think that this is an appropriate way to do business, is to surprise people with a change. And in fairness to them, if any of you received this notice in the mail, good, but I did not, and I've been a customer of theirs for a long time. The second item, I was going to put this under my report, but this is just an FYI, just a second reminder.
Frank, is your microphone on?
Isn't it on? It's on.
Okay.
Right? Second item is our new mayor, Cervante, is going to be the guest speaker at the Human Services Coalition's annual luncheon, which is February 23rd. You should have all received an invitation in your mailboxes to that effect. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Frank. Anyone else? Will?
Thank you, Martha. Tonight we have the benefit of that very, very excellent report of the Broadband Committee and got a sense of how to expand access locally. I would like to just mention an Internet-related issue that is happening nationally. Presumably many of you have heard about it, but there is an act winding its way through Congress called the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA, which sounds innocuous, actually potentially beneficial. However, many people who are knowledgeable about the Internet content that we currently assume just to be part of the Internet feel that this act threatens to dramatically change and curtail what can be put on online. And if any of you ever take advantage of Wikipedia, I would encourage you to go home tonight or tomorrow and try getting on. You will probably discover that Wikipedia has been taken down for the day. That is how seriously the people that run Wikipedia feel will be the impact if this act is allowed to go on. So SOPA, learn about it, think about it, and pay attention.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else? All right, a couple items from my report. First, to follow up the broadband report, Mike, you have GEO Thursday, is that right?
Correct.
I don't remember if it's on your agenda or if you have time to add it.
It will be added to our agenda.
Okay, so sort of discussion of next steps?
Yep.
Great, that's terrific. I will be asking Michelle to put together a list of all the chair's appointments that we look at every year, and Michelle or Kathy to send out the committees as they are this year with responsibilities. And I would like to ask you to have a look at that. This is a time when we always think about, should we not just reorganize the personnel, but also the responsibilities as they're distributed among committees. So please have a look at those lists when they come out, and then we'll be setting up, I'll try to set up a meeting wizard so people can, we can set up those meetings so we can have the discussions. And Dooley, I know you didn't really plan on being part of those, but we'll welcome your participation, as in the previous 2 years. I want to just mention something that we did, a few of us did last week, and then introduce Janelle King to talk further about it. January 10th, last week ago, a few of us went to Albany. Myself, Dominic Frangillo, Deputy Supervisor of Town of Caroline, Mayor Emerita of, sort of figured out that title, of the city, Carolyn Peterson. Janelle came along, and we met Jeanette Barth, who's an economist from Westchester. We went to first to DEC. That was the focal point to hand off comments and to express our feelings in person and try to engage DEC with directly on some of these issues. I gave them hard copies of our four resolutions that we passed. They had already received the TCOG notebook and noted that. And it was, they didn't say, oh, gee, you're right, we should have thought of that. It was a little frustrating in some ways, but it was important to be there. We also had the opportunity to hand them a packet of information about hydrilla, and Joe is going to talk about that briefly in his report as well. We also met with Rob Mujica in Senator Skelos's office, specifically urging that the leader allow the home rule bill, Jim Seward's home rule bill, to be brought to the floor of the Senate for a vote. And then met with Tom Congdon in the governor's office and had Dominic and Jeanette were on a Capitol Press Room radio show as well. And I was really pleased that Janelle was able to go with us. I think it was, you know, something where she's been working on, and I'd like Janelle to come to the microphone and talk about this in a minute, but she's been working on the topic, and I think it was a happy coincidence that we had these meetings scheduled during the time when she was an intern with us. So, Janelle, you want to, and this is the last legislature meeting when Janelle will be here. Her time with us will go till February 3rd. But then she'll be at Cuca College again by the next legislature meeting, so I wanted her to just talk a little bit about what she's done in the first 2 weeks.
So first, I have an interest in environmental issues, which is why I've been really working with Martha on this hydrofracking. But I thank you all for letting me come to your committee meetings, because that's been very helpful, because it wasn't just about environmental issues. I really wanted to learn more about local government, which I have been able to learn through these meetings and all the other committee meetings. I plan to attend a few more, so I will probably see some of you again. The main packet, which has also been available as another copy by the mailboxes for you guys to look at, I really worked on for the first couple of weeks with Martha, and it's compiled a bunch of newspaper articles from our local papers, which Martha has been collecting over a while, that I really went through a stack probably about this high and weeded through some and sorted what would be really important for the DEC to look at that they might not be seeing from our local perspective, from, you know, our Dryden papers and from the Ithaca Journal. And then also some other papers on important studies that were done that were also reported on from the Washington Post and New York Times were slid in there as well. They covered a range of topics that were discussed in the DEC's draft document of the SGIS that they sent out. And we commented on, related them to the sections. So it covers things such as, you know, socioeconomic impacts, emissions, water waste, water resources, flood maps, roads, health, and then we also talked a little bit about local control, just to name a few. There's a lot more in here. And then now kind of the plan, we handed this off to the DEC, and I really hope they take time to look at it with their comments. I know they've been flooded with a lot, which I think is great. My next plan is to really start focusing and seeing what other home rule and other local legislation have been passed and laws in other states that are dealing with this hydrofracking as well and have been working on it for a while, just kind of gather some research and see so we can have that to look at for a New York State to go along with the bill that's hoping to be passed on home rule. that's about it for my report. So I have enjoyed the time working with you guys. I hope to see you at your other committee meetings. Thanks.
And thank you, Janelle. As I told her many times, I certainly never could have put that package together without her. So we figured at least it's going to keep them busy for a little while to read that. So, and there's a copy that's on the mailboxes. And I think the research on home rule is going to be really important. I think that will be a key bill that we hope will come up for a vote and be successful this year. So that's my report. Any questions? Great. County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Martha. I'll go short again tonight. Two kind of very different topics. One, as Martha said, hydrilla, our favorite plant. Just wanted to update you on that. The working group, city-county work group that has been involved in that since it was first discovered last year, has continued to work. We don't have good news to report there. That plant seems to be very persistent and pervasive. Treatments have been somewhat successful, but not fully effective. It looks as if it's spreading, if anything. And based on early indications of what treatment needs might look like for the spring, we're hearing numbers in the range of $500,000 for treatment for 1 year. And if your memory is really good, you will recall that the state has pledged $230,000 for the next 2 years. So there's a lot of work to do, one, to make sure that we are prepared with a plan to eradicate this plant, and second, to go to work in Albany to try to find money. It is a state problem to make sure that we can treat the situation rapidly and aggressively and effectively. So it hasn't gone away. We will be coming back to you with updates. I'm sure we'll be at a PDAC to fill you in on what's going on, but it does still seem to be with us. A somewhat different topic, the state budget, although it is pervasive and persistent too sometimes. I'll tell you what we know so far, and it's only 6 hours old, and I did send out a NYSAC summary, so I'm going to have to rely on that mostly. The governor did announce mandate relief in the form of a revised way of capping the cost of Medicaid. As you all recall, right now our Medicaid costs go up by 3% per year. It's capped at 3%. It has become an automatic 3% increase in our Medicaid costs. Let's call that $300,000 a year in growth. So that's almost a full percent on our tax levy. The governor has proposed stepping down that cap until it reaches a hard cap. So if it's 3% this year, next year it's 2%. The year after that it's 1%. The following year it's 0%. So it's a hard cap at that point. But in terms of a real takeover of Medicaid costs, that's not in this budget. So basically what we're looking at is $100,000 a year in growth that won't be there. So it's not eating into the base. It's mitigating growth. And if it applies, we're not sure yet whether it applies to the state fiscal year that begins on April 1st, which would mean we would get three-quarters of the benefit, or if it applies in our calendar year 2013. So call the effect on the budget for the first year somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000. You recall our Medicaid bill is $12.2 million. 0.8% of our Medicaid bill is covered by this. So that did come out in today's budget. The other significant change that the governor talked about today and has proposed is in the way of pension reform. It is probably an important development. It's a Tier 6. It is a kind of a pick'em approach where there is both a defined benefit plan consistent with what we have right now, but with a much higher employee contribution that would occur, with later retirement ages, with more restrictions on how much overtime can be applied that counts against your pension, with a longer period of time to look at your average years of service. The number of years that they used to calculate your pension benefit would go from 3 years to 5 years. So, again, that's kind of along the current model, a defined benefit model. The pick'em part of this is there would also be a voluntary defined contribution alternative where employers, us, would put in the equivalent of 4% of salary per year. That would go up if the employee put some of the employee's money in there. It could go up to a 7% employer contribution if the employee put 3% of his or her own money into that plan. So it's the first time the state has looked at a defined contribution alternative to the defined benefit plan that we currently have. The goal is to address what we all know is a very difficult increase in pension costs that we've been dealing with. As we've said often, as you know, the only people that can be affected are people we don't know yet, that are new employees. The Constitution says that once a benefit is conferred, it can't be taken away. So this Tier 6 would apply only to new employees into the system. So it's going to take a while, if this goes through, before it has an appreciable effect on our pension costs, which are expected to go up, our pension costs, in each of the next 2 years, and then hopefully begin to decline. So that was one of the other major cornerstones of the governor's proposal today. Very quick response from departments, and it's probably even too early to get it on the record, but in the case of the health department, the big funding source is called Article 6. That's where most of the money is. It's looking like that is flat, so no cuts. That's the first glimpse. It looks like COFA, those programs seem to be flat. So there seems to be stability on those fronts, although we still need to look at the details. Some of the larger items in our budget, temporary assistance, for example, we haven't seen what the formula changes might be for this year, if there are any. So we still need to have an understanding of what may happen with respect to public assistance. Still don't have a clear handle on mental health programs, very complex area. And I think the last thing that I'd flag is there are some changes proposed for preschool special education and for early intervention, two mandated programs that we run. The governor's talked about streamlining and making reforms to those programs. It is pretty much in code at this point. We really don't know how that's going to affect us, so we're going to have to spend some time on that. But the state did flag those as major changes in the governor's budget. So that's where we are right now. We had hoped for more in the way of Medicaid takeover. We thought maybe the governor might get comfortable with the phase-out that's been proposed, multi-year phase-out. But this is really on the margins. Better than we have right now, but still not nearly what we think we need to be able to get relief on that front. So that's the first glimpse for a budget that's 6 hours old right now, and we'll have more reports as we learn more details.
Jim and then Pam and Peter.
I just want to remind anyone that our budget this past year, 1%, got the county $406,000, so they're saving us a whopping $100,000. Mm-hmm.
That's by 2015, they would save
right.
us. Not quite that amount. That's so. Right. Pam?
Yeah, Joe, I wanted to ask you about the Hydrilla group. Right. And I hope that the group is looking at this as managing Hydrilla. I mean, there have been instances where there are now pesticide, herbicide, resistant strains. And we always tend to go after these things so aggressively, and then we end up creating more of a problem. And I just hope that there's a balanced approach to this and that they are also considering the fact that more than likely this is going to go into the southern end of the lake where we already have an impaired body, and that needs to be looked at as a whole because, in fact, we have an increasing problem with other flora in that section of the lake that is serious. I mean, it's a real problem. So I don't know whether any of those things are discussed in this group, or do you?
Well, I know that they're looking at various treatment options, and I know they looked, you know, there was one effort to basically harvest these
right.
these plants to vacuum them out. And that was actually counterproductive. That didn't work the way it was planned. So they're looking at various treatment options. They are looking at larger portions of the lake. Pam, what we had talked about was at an upcoming PDAC meeting to really brief the committee in some detail about the situation and about the treatment approaches, and especially to start talking about mounting a lobbying effort to get the state to come through with some money. So we will want to talk to you about that.
Thank you.
Julie? I'm sorry. Peter, you had your hand up, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yes, I did. Just a thought that popped into my head as you were giving your report. something maybe that we might want to get the organization of counties to put on their agenda. I think it would be really worthwhile when the governor comes out with, when the governor's budget comes out and makes these changes, if we could see a plot, a 10-year plot. I mean, it's done all the time at the federal level as what this really means compared to the current status, because I think that pension thing is going to be something like this that you saw. And also the Medicaid expenses, it's not going to be that big. So I think it would be worthwhile if we demanded or put into law the regulation that there always had to be a 10-year plot showing the effect of what a change has to be. So just a thought that occurred to me.
You mean actually a graph?
Yeah, a graph that would show that. You see that all the time for federal programs. What is it? There's an office, the county GAO, I guess, makes these graphs, and they're always shown. So just a thought.
Okay.
Well, we can ask NYSAC to put that together.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting. Right.
Yes. Julie?
On a related topic, Comptroller DiNapoli put out in his most recent report a list of municipalities that had stayed within the tax cap, a list that had exceeded the tax cap erroneously, and those that had corrected it, and those that had successfully exceeded the tax cap. And I couldn't find Tompkins County anywhere on the list. Do you know anything about that?
No.
We should be somewhere.
We're completely off the radar. I don't know why that was not. We filed all of our papers, and including the legislation that exempted it. So I don't know why we weren't on there. I can't, if you're interested, if he's prepared that report, it's great. I think I have a comprehensive report on what the counties did, so I can provide that to the legislature, too, if you're interested in seeing that.
We don't fit a category, Julie.
Apparently not.
Will?
Joe, thank you very much for your detailed report. I just wanted to note that the defined contribution pension model, which would be new, is something that I think that should be seriously evaluated, not only on its potential for fiscal savings, but also on from a social justice perspective on the workers of New York State. And to me, for the state to move away from defined benefit toward that is a huge, huge step. And I don't personally perceive that as necessarily good, even though we can save some money. So I will hope we will have a discussion here what that might mean for us, but I hope we will also weigh in on the state to really, really think this through.
Okay. Thank you very much. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I didn't have a report, but I did want to follow up on something actually Frank said. In his when he was talking about Casella, and I'm not sure how much people know about Casella and our recycling facility, but Frank said that they run our recycling, and as you probably know, Casella has the contract to pick up residential recycling, and they still have that contract. I'm not sure how much it's not been very well publicized, but originally, we contracted with Casella FCR to operate our recycling facility, and FCR was the recycling end of Casella, and they were located in Charlotte, North Carolina. They are no longer associated with Casella. They're no longer a part of Casella. They're part of a new company called Ray Community, which is all the same people that we dealt with. And it was sort of a split up of Casella. This company took the recycling facilities. It's very well financed because they took 17 facilities, and since then they've added more than double that. And it is, rather than a waste company, it's really a recycling company. So Casella is not really operating our facility now. Ray Community is. It doesn't affect our contract at all. It's all the same people who we were dealing with, but it is a different company, and it's no longer part of Casella. I'm not sure how many people were aware of that. Overall, I think it should be a good thing because it's a company which is much more focused on recycling. And probably the best thing about it is finance. It's much better financed than Casella is. And one of the reasons for Casella to actually sell it off was for the money, because Casella had some issues, like most waste companies, with financing. So the FCR people and their supporters had a lot of money. Casella did not. But I think overall it probably puts us in better position, but it doesn't affect our contract. It doesn't affect who we deal with, but it's really not part of Casella anymore.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Sure.
Finance Director David Squires.
I got some good news, but first I wanted to mention the issue in Sullivan County where this thing about the property tax cap, the Sullivan County administrators presented a budget, and it was not, and the legislature there could not adopt a budget, so it reverted to the county administrator's budget, which drained their entire fund balance. So it's an interesting situation, you know. If you wonder what would happen if it reverted back to the administrator's budget. The good news I wanted to talk about was December sales tax came in very strong. They were actually 10% over last year. So the fourth quarter, our sales tax were up around 5.5%. And so we'll end up the year with probably a $500,000 over budget for the sales tax line, which is good news. The other good news is we had really quite a response in our tax enforcement. Friday the 13th was the final day for redemption of properties exposed to foreclosure. I'm happy to say that the largest delinquencies all paid off. So we were very excited. I actually personally went to collect because one of our recurrent customers, I offered to come pick up his check because it was like $85,000. So I braved the elements on Friday afternoon to pick up that money.
Well done. Thank you, David. I think we've already spent that $500,000 extra a couple times over. So, any questions for David? Joe.
Can I reframe the way David characterized the Sullivan County thing?
Yeah.
If you think my recommendation on the budget was bad, you should have seen Sullivan County. Okay? I just want to make sure that we're separated apart.
Well, we are, I think we are in good hands. We deeply appreciate that, Frank.
Joe, is he still county administrator?
I don't know.
It was the legislature's failure, you know. Yeah. Okay, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? There's one appointment to be withdrawn, Jerome Meyersek, which has not had a chance to go through committee yet. All right, I'll read the consent agenda. If there are any items you want pulled, just let me know. Resolution A, acceptance of grant from the Cleaner, Greener Communities Program of the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, for the preparation of a seven-tier regional sustainability plan. That's the revised version in your folders. And the revised version of Resolution B, acceptance of New York State Office of Housing and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant Healthy Homes Rehabilitation Program. Resolution C, authorizing the Department of Social Services to contract with Child Development Council for the Teen Parenting Program. Resolution D, budget adjustments, Department of Social Services. And for the Environmental Management Council, Martha Ferger. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Will, seconded by Pat. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. I will go directly to the Capital Plan Review Committee, which met last Thursday over at the old courthouse. And I was pleased that Pam and Carol were able to join us. We had the main business, by far the main business, and Pat came at the end. Sorry, Pat. Was to look at the plans, the preliminary plans by Holt Architects and Orrell to work on, to see how we might fit all of our operations into the old courtroom without having to bump planning and ITCTC out of their space. And I will just say we had, it was a really interesting and engaging conversation. They took in all of our questions and comments. We asked that they make some additional revisions or like at least sort of come back to us with, well, what would it look like if you did this or that, some other alternatives, so we'll have at least one more committee meeting over there to really be able to get a handle on it. And then we would like to have a special committee, special legislature meeting over in that space. I mean, this is an area where this is going to be our home, and everybody needs to be sort of hands-on right there in the room looking at the drawings. It's something that really deserves and needs a lot of our attention, a lot of time. The staff have participated fully in conversations with the architects and with Arel, and they were and Kathy was there and had a few things to say as well. So that's the main report there. Are there any questions? Okay. Government Operations, Mike Wayne, Chair.
We will meet, as was said before, this Thursday, January 19th, and we will be continuing our discussion about our ethics, proposed ethics law, and as I said before also, we'll add discussion about broadband to that. Just to keep it on your radar, on the 31st of January, the Independent Redistricting Committee will have a hearing on its proposed option, which will be held in the town hall at the town of Dryden at 5:30 p.m. And hopefully, if you have comments, they're trying to solicit comments about the outer areas of the county, but if you have other comments and you want to make at that meeting, you certainly can.
And there's a second meeting in February?
February 9th will be at the Board Warner Room of the Tompkins County Public Library, also at 5:30. That one's to try to center a little more on the downtown districts.
All right. Any questions for Mike? Jim?
Yes, Mike. I've heard there was a proposed discussion that you were going to be having about employee health insurance. And is that for your next meeting?
We actually weren't going to have a discussion. I did ask that the county administrator could maybe tell us what we do. And the reason for that is some of us received questions from some retirees about our policy, and I just wanted our committee to be educated a little bit on that.
Okay.
Okay, Brian?
Mike, what time did you say that? Redistricting.
All their meetings have been at 5:30, so it'll be at 5:30.
The one on the 31st.
On the 31st in Dryden at the town hall.
Thank you, Mike. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
Yes, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. At our December meeting. Ed Marks presented to us the draft RFP request for proposals that is being developed for the Biggs property. This is a work in progress. Basically, we are looking at this piece of property to build 70 units on it, which is twice the number that are currently allowed on that piece of property. We are using money from the EPA Climate Showcase Grant to do this, and what that money is going toward is developing a plan that includes, will demonstrate the energy efficient and units, their compact pedestrian-oriented communities, and how they can be developed using what communities that we have already developed in this area as models for it. The idea is to leave 70% of the site open and that they would have 10 units per acre and that the housing would be affordable. So this, he presented this as sort of this initial idea. It is now, he is going to go and talk to the town board next week to introduce this same thing to them. And the idea is to get, they have a whole schedule, timetable on when they want to get this RFP out. They want to get it out on the May of this year. And so that's something that if it's something that you are interested and concerned about, you need to plug into now because it's in the process of being developed. The only other thing I wanted to mention was that I sent out an email to all of you in December about the EMC appointments. You know, municipalities all have appointments to the EMC, and those have sort of been falling through the cracks. And we were hoping that if you all would take this back to your municipalities, I sent you a list of the municipalities that had vacancies, and if you need another list, I certainly will send it to you again. And if you will take that request to your town boards and ask them to appoint somebody, and that if they don't act on that, that then you may get involved in trying to find somebody for the town to appoint to the EMC. The EMC is a very important, historically a very important advisory board for the county, and so we want to make sure that it's up and functioning at full speed. So I hope you can help us with that.
Peter.
Pam, wouldn't it be more efficient if we just asked our staff to send it out to the municipality clerk?
Well,
ask them to do that, and then if they didn't respond, then we could get involved.
Well, one of the problems has been is that what usually happens is that in the fall, planning department, Kathy Wilsey, has sent out a notice to all the municipalities just saying, here's the EMC, we have vacancies, you know, you're welcome to apply. It has not said to the municipalities, your municipality has a vacancy on our EMC. Would you please look for somebody to fill it? And so that process will happen starting in the fall. What we have, though, is this gap, because it has been falling through the cracks, that I told Kathy that I would enlist the support of the legislature. I committed us to doing this, in doing it for this year, so that we can get some people on the board, on the EMC now. Their membership is way down, to try and get the thing up and going, so that in the fall, when these letters sent out by Kathy Wilsey, she will send it to the town boards with a copy to each legislator, but it will specifically say your municipality has a vacancy on the EMC position, and we hope that you will fill it. But that you as a legislator, it's not going to be your primary responsibility. Right now, you're just filling in for a gap and a failure that has happened in communication in the past.
So Carol, Frank, and then Dooley.
Yeah, I appreciate, Pam, you're doing that. I think it might be helpful if we got a job description, it's not a job description, but some kind of description that we could encourage our constituents or our mailing lists or whatever.
Kathy Wilsey put a trifold folder on the EMC into everybody's mailbox.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she could provide more of those if we wanted them.
Yeah, if we had it electronically, it would be easier to send out. And as I understand it, you know, the EMC was coming to PDEC asking us, so their preferred, they would really like to feel like they were really responding in a bigger way to things that we as a legislature want them to be doing for us. And their proposal was to change their bylaws so that we would each be required to fill a seat, you know, each of us individually as legislators from our district. And I think that this was sort of an interim or a compromise between what they were asking for and what we'd had before. So, you know, any thoughts that people have, they are looking for input from us and responses from us and more participation by us in making sure that they're responding to the environmental needs of the county. But I think it might be helpful if we could have job description or other electronic information. I guess there's just a link to their site we could send out.
Okay, Frank, Dooley, and Pat.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Pam, two things, or really three. This effort to help the EMC out is really needed because they could use a little boost from the rest of us. Secondly, with all this flurry of chairmanship dragging over two legislative meetings, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that you are, it's the county's turn to have one of our representatives, one of our three, chairing the TCAT board. And guess who that will be? Pam Mackeson. The third item is the comment period closing last week. I know that as chair of the WRC, and I know the EMC and Ed and the Board of Health, the Planning Committee was sort of the gathering point of a lot of those comments, and then everything went. Did you want to say anything about the status of the comment period on the hydrofracking?
It's ended.
And it's closed finally.
Yes, it has.
What did you say, Martha? 40,000 responses?
Yeah, it was many more responses than they got the last time. So they don't seem to be, not only do they not seem to be satisfying the concerns and questions that people have, they actually, their concerns and questions seem to be increasing rather than decreasing. So I'm not sure where the DEC is going to go with this because they are seeing a revolt among their residents out here in terms of how they're looking at the possibility of having hydrofracking. I think it's pretty clear what the opinion of the majority of people out here is.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Julie.
With respect to the EMC membership, there's sort of an irony because since the EMC's executive committee was leading a discussion on new way to structure solicitation of members and appointment of members, I believe the planning department, Kathy Wilsey, did not send out her usual request to municipalities this past fall because she didn't know what the ground rules were going to be, which is why at this time of this year they need some extra help. So that's the irony. At the last EMC meeting, there were four new people, three of whom I believe are applying for membership. So the word is out. And what Kathy Wilsey did send out recently, there was a copy in each mailbox so that you could see what she is sending out. It does try to describe what the EMC job is like. So I think that was anticipated, but if you think it needs work, those specific suggestions might be good to make. So I'm hopeful about the EMC, and the specific request that each of us talk to the municipalities that we represent seems like an easy thing to add on to our regular appearances there. So that's all you're asking, I think.
Okay, Pat?
Other people have now said most of the things that I was going to say about the situation with EMC. We mentioned that there is a website, and for anyone who's interested in learning more about the EMC, you can refer people to the EMC website, which I don't have that right in front of me, but it maybe what we could do would be send that out so that you all have it.
Thank you. Do you have any more of a report, Pam? You do a resolution?
No, but I have a resolution. I didn't. Resolution E, Award of Tourism Partner Award, and I so move.
Seconded by Frank. Discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor?
Well, can I just say?
Yes.
I'm sorry. We originally, this was scheduled to all happen tonight, that this award, that we would pass this resolution and that the award would be presented. But because of the complications of trying to get our elections taken care of, that will happen. The actual presentation of the awards will happen at our next meeting, our first meeting in February.
Where there will still be elections.
Right. Where there still will be elections. That's true.
Well, which reminds me, we should find out at what point in that meeting do we need to have it.
Right, and we passed this resolution now, so right. It's going to be easy. If we could do it like we did with the youth award next time. It was just that the problem was that we hadn't passed the resolution at this meeting yet, so we couldn't present it.
So, assuming we will pass it, we can make.
Yeah, we can postpone that too.
No, we could do two. There are two awardees, and we could do two. You know, like sort of proclamation format, so that can just be done. Okay. Are any questions for Pam? Discussion, Jim?
It's not a question. Mark Wenham and the Turkey Shoot have been around a long time, and they've been dragging people into the county on Saturday and Sunday for many years, and. I applaud the group that recognized that that they're bringing as many people into the county when they do. There's a female version and a male version. It's called Gobble Games is the other run by Lynn Reitenbach, and they do a great job.
All right. Are we ready to vote? Carol?
Can I just ask that we note, I am happy to pass this and vote for this. It is something, we make the youth awards without having to vote our agreement as to the recipient, and this has a committee that chooses the recipients. I might note for future years that we might look at whether this needs to come to us as a resolution every year or whether this is something we could trust the Tourism Board to pick and present to us.
Didn't it include...
I don't remember.
Sort of a gift of a brick on the Cuga Waterfront Trail, so maybe that's a sort of legacy of that, even though that's not included here, is that right?
I mean, that's what that we did last time. I don't know.
This doesn't say anything about an expenditure.
It says no, maybe they're out of space. the resolution, I don't know, maybe they have gifts, I don't know.
Okay.
That was not clear to me.
I think that's a good suggestion for the committee to look at, or the Tourism Board, whoever, the next time. Okay, all in favor of Resolution E, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Pam. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
No report.
All right, Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Not much of a report. We're having a meeting on... what's the next month called? February. February 6th.
Okay. February 6th. That's it. Oh, that's Monday, right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslin had to leave, but she left me a note that said WDIC will meet next Wednesday. The agenda includes revising bylaws. A survey report, and the Disability Accommodations and Access. So that's next Wednesday afternoon. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee met on the 11th, and we had quite a few items on our agenda. One was the prior Monday, there was a meeting sponsored by the Health Planning Council to deal with the care transitions, the Medicare revision piece, and where we were approved, if you remember, for a piece of that $500 million. And the group that came together up at Rice, there were probably 50 individuals in the room representing various agencies in the county. They're meeting to come up with... There are three pieces that they have to complete, and I'm under the impression that those will be done before the end of this month. Lisa Holmes is leading part of that discussion along with the Health Planning Council and also Visiting Nurse Service. The second item was one that is dealing with IT. The presentation we had tonight about the broadband was very timely. One of the items that Pat's committee reviewed was doing medical observations right from the home, and that is part of this. This group is applying for a $1 million grant, and they're putting that piece together this Saturday, from what I understand, in order to apply for that money. There's quite a bit going on because of the changes in health care. Third item, Joe was asked to give us a little update on that insurance matter that Mike alluded to, because we've all received letters about the health insurance and the impact on some of our retirees. As I understand it, you or someone, Paula, is going to put together a letter outlining.
Yeah, we will develop a briefing memo for you and for retirees. We will also make time available. Steve Losey, the health benefits consultant that's been working with the consortium, has agreed to meet with retirees for a couple of hours to go through all of their questions and answers. So we'll do it kind of face-to-face in the future, too.
Okay, great. Thank you. Frank Krupa gave us a very brief update on the CHA situation with regard to the state. At the time of our meeting, the state still had not developed the process for applying for applications. Remember the grant application, the $2,000 item? We were waiting, and it's my understanding it's still not developed. It's not even an outline form. And here it is at the middle of January, and all of this was supposed to be done at least a month ago. So there's a lot of outfits that are in limbo, trying to decide what to do next. Our health department continues to deal with patients, and we're trying to get people placed. They're not leaving anyone out in the cold. Joe gave us asked for permission to pursue through an RFP the uninsured prescription discount card. It's another prescription drug card that I think NYSAC is helping to sponsor, and it'll give our participants another option, and it might actually, if it comes back decently, it might actually replace the option we have, from what I understand anyway. Under youth services, real quickly, you may want to remind your municipalities that the 5-year REC partnership agreement is up this year. Those municipalities that are participating will need to re-up, and the discussion has begun. Amy said that it has begun with the various municipalities about that. The bylaws through youth, we had to table them twice because of waiting for other organizations to weigh in and review them, but they'll be coming to us probably at the next meeting. Next committee meeting is the 8th of February. Joe, I didn't ask you this before the meeting, but could you give the board 2 seconds on the status of the mental health commissioner's search?
It's ongoing. We're still accepting resumes and applications. I think we have another couple of weeks to go, I'm going from memory, before the recruitment period ends. Search committees and panels, so we're just really waiting for that recruitment period to end. Then there will be a ranking of the resumes that have been received by the search committee, trying to filter down from a large group to a smaller group to interview, and then from that smaller group, probably 2 or 3 finalists to bring back for another round of interviews and introductions for a selection. The goal is to have a confirmation a request to you, the legislature, by about May 1st. So our goal is to have a commissioner approved by May 1st.
Well, you're the liaison to mental health. Did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you really covered it.
Oh, good. Did you want to introduce the resolution to reinstate the CHA?
Yeah. All right.
Just want to see if anybody was awake. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We also met. We met on Friday. We did have some action items, but the ones that need to come to you will come to you next time. Nothing urgent. We had a interesting report from Don Ellis on weights and measures, our annual report. It is just astounding the amount of work that he covers. He inspects several thousand devices and tens of thousands of labels in stores, just spot checking. And he has a really astoundingly high good compliance rate. Up there, 99-100% accuracy on those scales. So that's very nice, with the exception of just some dairy scales that we aren't the ones who inspect. That's a sort of a pass-through report that we're lower. We had our quarterly review of highway and bridge projects. Spent most of our time on Henshaw Road, where we continue to try to follow updates. We asked Joe to make sure we communicate with the residents promptly as any new information unfolds about implications on budgets or timing of the project, and they are working on that and not quite ready to do anything there. We talked about Pine Tree Road and the options that we continue to pursue, especially to make sure that the options that we pursue are to what level of handicapped accessibility if that project moves forward. Other highway projects, there are many, and bridge projects, the Waterberg Road Bridge you'll be hearing more about in the future, but no decisions tonight. Just a report to the committee. We have various working committees and groups that are engaged in selecting the road use consultants for the road use law to implement that and the process for that, and a highway director search where we are still, that is still open. So if you have candidates, please pass them along to Joe.
Any questions for Carol? Thank you very much. We have the minutes of the January 3rd meeting. A motion moved from Frank, seconded by Pam Dooley.
In your red folder, there is one suggested amendment that I put in. When I read over the minutes, it seemed to me that under privilege of the floor, Herb Engman's comments had been too summarized, so it made it sound like he alone was working on the comprehensive plan and would make sure it was finished. So I would like to amend that section to read, in response to Ms. Kiefer's question about the comprehensive plan, Mr. Engman said he had hoped it would be done in 2011. He is sure it will be put out to the public in 2012.
Okay. Friendly to Pam, did you second it? Who seconded the minutes?
What?
Who seconded the, Pam, this motion of the minutes? Was that friendly?
Yeah, that's
friendly.
Okay,
all right. Friendly. No, that's all right. It's friendly Frank, so. All right. With that, any other discussion? All in favor of the minutes as amended, please raise your hand. Any opposed?
Dooley.
Okay.
How could you vote against them?
All right, that's 12 to 1. They pass.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
We do not have an executive session, so can I get a motion to adjourn? Well, we're adjourned. All right. Thank you.